Blog Talk Radio.
Flash it. New thing. This is the song. Got two lyrics. Very simple and plain. We can all sing together. No ass to feel left out. Join in. This is a song that people need to be singing right about now. When they're telling you that you can't, you shouldn't, you won't. Tell them this, tell them this, tell them this.
No way, no matter what they say. Yeah, there's no way, no matter what they say. Yeah, there's no way, no matter what they say. Hey, no way, no matter what they say. Hey, 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 don't give up, don't give in, don't give up, don't give in, say. 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 Don't give up, don't give in.
soundofforums97413@gmail.com. You can also find me on Twitter at hashtag soundofforum97413. You can also go to my website at soundofforums.com or soundofforums.net. It's three F's, so sound off and then put the other F in it for forums. Go look at my website. If you would like to get into the nitty-gritty of the stuff that I talk about, you will have to email me and log in to get access to it, okay? Because I just don't want anybody just jumping on my page, because some people are just not ready for the truth. So if you're ready for the truth, you're ready to get your socks knocked off, email me and let's get it rolling. Ephesians 6:6-13, New King James Version, not with eye service and as man pleases, but the servants of Christ doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord, not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether it be bond or free. And ye masters, do the same to the things unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master is also in heaven. Neither is there a respect of the person within him. Finally, my brothers, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take upon the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand in the evil day, and having all done to stand, and let the church say, Amen. Oh, boy. I learned some stuff about that amen, but amen. Praise you, Jesus. We lift you up in everything that we do. So, here we go. Okay. So, the angle that I'm coming from tonight is going to be coming. I'm talking about some really deep stuff. So, I hope you got your thinking caps on, because it is it's fairly deep stuff. It's so deep it's over my head at some points in time. But I figured it out. We're gonna get it rolling, and hopefully you catch on. Okay. First, what we're going to do, we're going to talk about the energy, the energy that comes out, whether it be positive or negative. But there is some type of energy that comes out. And so what I want to throw at you is some definitions. You know how we do it. Throw at you some definitions and get you kind of caught up to speed to the ideology that I want to talk about, so everybody's on the same page. Nobody's lost. Nobody, you know, you may get lost in this stuff because there's going to be a lot of stuff, like I said, we're going to talk about. Okay, let me throw out these definitions at you, okay? All right, so this is called positive and negative frequency. As the DNA molecules are in two intertwined helixes, and many proteins are helical structures known as alpha helix. The word helix comes from the Greek word twist or curve. Helixes can be either right-handed or left-handed, with the line of sight along with the helix axis. If a clockwise string motion moving in the helix away from the observer, then it is called a right-handed helix. If it's towards the observer, then it is a left-handed helix. All right, here I go, y'all. I'm back. I am back. I'm telling you, either the government trying to keep me from doing it or the Lord. The Lord let me in. So I'm telling y'all, they will kick you out if you're telling the truth around here. You know what I'm saying? So let me finish talking to you about the helix. All right? So in the helix, the devil is a lot. like I was saying, thus the helix cannot be described as a spinning clockwise or anti-clockwise of handless or chastity. It is primarily a helix, not of the perspection. A right-handed helix cannot be turned or flipped to look like a left or a left-handed one unless it is viewed in a mirror or vice versa. Okay. Most hardwood screws are right-handed helixes. The alpha helix is biology as well as the alpha and the bravo form of the DNA. They're talking about those two helixes that hold the DNA within the middle of it. Also, is a right-handed helix. The Z form of the DNA is left-handed. The pitch of the helix is the wide width of one of the complete helix turn measured horizontal parallel to the axis of the helix. Okay? So the reason why that's important is because you got to understand how and where they get these things of frequencies from. Okay? Okay, so just keep that in mind. Hold on. Another definition's coming here. All right, we're going to talk about a sphere. All right? Now, the sphere, some of us know, some of us don't know. A sphere is Greek. It means globe or ball. It's a perfectly round, geometrically and circular object, a three-dimensional space, just like the helix, such as the shape of a round ball, like a circle, which is a geometrically complex into two dimensions. A sphere is set at the points where they are all the same distance, are from a given point in space. The distance r is known as the radius of the sphere. The greatest point is known as the circle, as the center of the sphere. And the maximal straight distance from the sphere is known as the diameter. Okay? I'm going to throw that out at you. In mathematical, the distance is made between the sphere, a two-dimensional closed surface is embedded into a three-dimensional Euclidean space. And the ball is a three-dimension shape which includes an inferior of the sphere, okay? Now, the key points that I want you to grasp is, one, it's three-dimensional, just like the helix is three-dimensional, okay? All right, so we're going to move on to the cube. A cube is a geographical cube, is a three-dimensional solid object bound in six squares faced facets of our sides of three meeting of a vortex. Okay? The cube can also be called the regular helirond. Okay? And it is the fifth planticic solid. It is specifically kind of a square or prism, a rectangle paralleptical, and a regular trapezoid. The cube is dual as an octagon. It is a cubical symmetry. Now, within that, it meets the shape of a circle, as well as a triangle. Okay? So within that cube, it's important that you understand about how the cube is shaped and everything like that, but it is able to transform into a triangle depending on how you break it down, okay? And those are the terms that they use in order to break these things down, okay? So we talked about yesterday, obelisks, okay? The obelisks, okay? Now, within this obelisk, let me get rid of that. Okay, so it's a split, a rail, a pointed column. is a tall, four-sided, narrow, tapering monument, which is the end of the pyramid, looks shaped at the top like an Egyptian pyramid. Those shapes are thus is representative of the distant rays of the sun. An obelisk is said to resemble a Prinzenpfaff ray disc, sun disc. The pair of obelisks usually stand in front of a pyramid. The ancient obelisks were on the monolithic, whereas other modern obelisks are several stones can be interiorly spaced. Okay? So I'm going to come back to that. I'm going to leave that one up. I'm going to get to the triangle. The triangle is a base shape in geometry. It's a polygon of four corners and vortices. And three sides on the edges of a lateral, the lateral symmetry. It is a three-pointed and non-collinear, determined to a unique triangle and unique plane. Okay, so within this, you have a perfect, right angle. Within the perfect right angle, it also gives you pi. Okay, it also gives you pi. So, keeping those things in mind, we're going to take all that and we're going to bring it into this, okay? We're going to bring it into this. The occult is an event, the occultization is an event that occurs on one of the object that is hidden by another object that is placed between it and the observer. The view of its astrology, the use in its astrology, it can also reference a situation wherein the object of the foreground blocks the front view, which is occult, and of the object of the background. In this general sense of occultination applies to the visual scene observed from a low flying airplane or a computerized generated image, where is foreground observing distance in dramatically as the scene changes over. Okay? In this term, it is frequently used to describe those in relative frequency occasions, such as the moon passing in front of a star. Doing such cases of the objective, the rotation around the earth. Okay? Now, I know you're thinking, where's he going with this? I have to put things in perspective of the star perspective, okay? Because not only is the star important, but the star represents it also represents something that is on another plane, okay? So I'm going to move on from that. And those are the definitions that we're using, okay? Now, so let's take the planes of those and knowing that we are on different dimensions, okay? I've said it many times before, that the way that we look at certain things does not mean that they're necessarily true. Okay. And the reason why I'm saying this is because it is that word that I use, the occultation of an object is the appearance of what you see, but there's a glaring or a blocking of what you really see, okay? And so we're going to put that on top of what we already know, and we're going to take those different types of shapes, and I'm going to bring that together for you because we live on a multi dimension, okay? We know that the dimension that we live on, that we see, is only one-dimensional thing, because we can look at the ground, we can look at the sky, but the only way we can look at a different dimension is if we're on top of something and we're looking down, and we can look side to side, and we can actually see more space than what we see on the ground. Okay, so with the positive and the negative noise, because we know these basic shapes from school, there's a such thing called a psychological repression or a psyche repression. It is the attempt for an individual to repel one's own desire or impulses towards the pleasurable instincts by excluding the desires of one's consciousness and subduing it in unconsciousness. Repression plays a major role in mental illness and in the psyche of an average person. The repression is the key concept for psychoanalysis. Is not a defense mechanism. It is a pre-existing existence of the ego. The primary repression is in the sense that it is unable to the conscious mind and would be recalled, aroused in an anxiety. Okay? So when we're talking about this is one of, I'm not a big fan of Freud. But this is something I came up, this was something I came up across when I was doing my research on it. And he basically says that you cannot separate the two because it is in our bodies. And so what do we need to do to awaken that is very, very unique. So I will go and I read a little bit of what Sigmund Freud has said, okay? Freud wrote a paper called Repression. It is part of the largest work that he has been called to of the primary essays of the metapsychological and that he has included 12 essays of only 5 of them were published. The metaphysiology was considered to be a group of conceptual models that could not be directly directed from the clinical experiment, but with the aim to explain clinical experiences in turn of the mechanics or the fictional perception. Freud's project in these essays was to introduce the sinuous its main elements, and in one history of the psychoasthmatic movement, he defined that the theory of the repression is the cornerstone of where the whole structure of psychoanalysis resists. In the paper, he returned the idea that repression that had the previous interceptions of dreams, but was conflated with the idea of defense, which had been developed, being which the neuropsychos of defense. Repression is the only defense module, whereas after 1920, repression has been seen as one of defense often used by others. Freud believed that he had found an absolute origin ideal in repression, and he did not acknowledge having encountered it in the work of other people that ranked him. He argues that in his essays, he's developed a step-by-step reviewing all the possibilities of the vicissitude of the instinctual impulse. First of all, gives that the instinctual satisfaction is by defining the pleasurable, it would necessarily be to pose the confliction that would cause pleasure in one's place or unpleasure in another, and the comfort that the motive force of the unpleasing should have acquired more strength than the pleasing obtained in satisfaction. So that fit into the positive and the negative wavelength of when you are in some type of anxiety effect. That the energy that's put off the energy that's put off transmits through your body and also through your brain, putting off positive and negative signals. Now, we know that in the world of in the world that we cannot see, we know that we are electrical beings. We have electrical flows, and so we use not only amp vibrations, all right, that our body picks up, but that energy flow with the magnetic flow that is around us. If you was to use, and I go back to the helix, if you was to use that diagram that I told you to look at with the horizontal parallel lines, and you've got those mountains and valleys going, you put them in two different colors, and then you flipped it up where you're looking into it, or you're looking down into it, all right, you'll see the helixes inside of that. Now, when you're looking down into the helix, the rotation that is going clockwise is the negative energy, and the helix that is going counterclockwise is the negative energy, which brings me to my excerpt. So please listen closely, and if you have any questions, just tune in, okay? All right, so let me, let's see here. Before I do that, I have to make sure that I'm correct. All right, here we go. Here we go.
Now, when it comes to the Kaaba, the main point that we try to communicate is the following. In Islam, or in the Quran, God teaches that if all mankind and if all the jinn combine to sin and move away from God, then God doesn't lose one atom's worth of his kingdom. And if mankind and jinn combine to dedicate every second of their life to prayer and to worship of the one God, then God's kingdom doesn't gain one atom's worth as well. What does this philosophy teach you? It teaches you that God is not in need of you, or your practices, or your worships, or your prayers. You are in need of these practices and these worships. You are in need of God, and not the other way around. If you can understand that philosophy, then you can appreciate prayers and what they are meant to do, which is basically enlighten you. So when dealing, for example, with the Kaaba, Muslims are required to go and perform Hajj one time in their life, and it's one of the five pillars of Islam. Growing up, most Muslims accept this, and most of them do it without questioning, and this is the essence of belief, and this is great. But at the same time, this doesn't mean that if you question or research, you're going to come back with negative or bad answers. The opposite is actually true. So when we started researching into the esoteric agendas, and we started researching the elite, we found out how much certain type of practices and rituals can affect your lives. So when we went and placed this on Islam, we developed an even deeper respect for this religion, and a far deeper respect for God and the creator of us. So when you go to the Kaaba and you circle around it seven times, the essence of this worship is not that you are worshipping a stone, or that you are worshipping a house, or that you are worshipping a Kaaba. The Kaaba is merely the focal point, or the centerpiece, that all Muslims have to unite and focus their energy and prayers towards, in a practice that is actually worshipping God. Now, going in circles counterclockwise does not break you away from time and space. But the fact that the energy of the Kaaba is the strongest energy on Earth, and it flows counterclockwise, by you flowing in correlation with this energy, you are uplifting yourself. You are reaching spiritual levels that you rarely do experience anywhere else on Earth. And the fact that you got to do it seven times, and we are taught that there are seven skies, or seven samawat, or seven spiritual planes, then one can discover that each circle breaks you through a spiritual plane spiritually, so you can reach the ultimate state of wisdom and spirituality. Does this mean that only Muslims can reach this level? Does this mean that if you're not Muslim, you give up or you reject this information? Not at all. In essence, any one of you, regardless of what your faith is, if you are dedicating your worship and your journey to the one and only Creator and not anything created, then you are on a righteous path. To begin with, the significance of 911. What you have to understand, and what we are trying to explain, is that when dealing with extra dimensions, or when dealing with beings from extra dimensions like jinn, for example, or when dealing with the Illuminati, or the elite, or people that follow a certain type of esoteric agenda, although me and you communicate through words and letters, they have chosen a different type of language. And this is a cross-boundary type of language. This is a language that goes across the boundaries, understood by all. And this is the language of numbers and shapes. And this is why whenever you do research about these groups, you'll find out that they practice something called sacred numerology and sacred geometry. What does this mean? It means that each number is given a meaning. Each shape is given a meaning. A meaning is communicated whenever a shape is presented or a number is presented by these specific groups. I'm not talking about random people or random groups. I'm talking about specific groups that follow this type of agenda. When numbers are used, it signifies a certain type of meaning. When shapes are used, the same is followed. So, in their definition, in a numerological sense, 10 is the Alpha and the Omega, or the God. 11 is a step above God. 101 is a step above God. 911, or 911, is the skipping of God. It is the ultimate challenge. It is going from number 9, which has a specific meaning, to number 11, without going through 10. It's skipping God. So it's no coincidence that this event that we call 911 today took place on 911. It is the ultimate challenge. So now that we understood what 911 means, what other practice do we do that deals with 911? Calling a number whenever you are in an emergency. Now, creating an institution that helps people whenever they are in need of help and whenever they are experiencing an emergency, it's fine. There's nothing against it. There's no religion, there's no logical person on earth that will tell you this is wrong. But when you understand how sinister these elites are and the way they work on a level that's way beyond what you think. So the fact that when you're experiencing an emergency or when you are in need of help, you have to pick up a phone and dial 911, which is the ultimate numerological definition of skipping God, then you'll understand how these people work.
Perfect.
That's when you recognize yourself in the future. So when this thing goes to heaven,
I'm telling you, boy, the FBI is on me tonight. They on me tonight. I'm telling you, they pressing numbers and trying to get in my phone and hanging me up and everything, man. I'm telling you. So basically, he was telling you what 911 meant, and he said that 9 is it, when you talk about the Kabbalah itself, the Tree of Life. When you come to the part of 9 is God. 10 is the 10 is not the believing God, and then 11 is the believing that you're over God or Satan. So, and then that void, which is 10 or the zero space, is considered to be the area of Satan. It says since 9/11 was an inside job, they are speculating that it could be a mega ritual. Is not something that is far-fetched whatsoever, especially when you understand how the Illuminati works. 9/11 was planned for four main reasons. One, as a challenge to God and all the spiritual forces serving his path by the force of Satan and all of these things he served in his path. And whether you like to admit it or not, there was our politics involved. Two is to signify that the destruction of the Kabbalah, which is K-A-B-A, the black box in the center of Mecca, where they walk seven times around counterclockwise, since the main design was to plan a mimic and signify the Kabbalah. Three, it was to influence the world politics at the most needed time for the final plans of the New World Order. And at last but not least, four, to create one of the darkest stargates on the earth. Now, you can believe this stuff or not, that's up to you. But the reality is this stuff comes so spot on when you start getting into what really goes on, okay? So they start talking about 9/11, so you understand how the numerology add up, how the dates and the speeches add up. All this is needed for the ritual sacrifice adds up to the specific event. However, the following is the most mind-blowing. Please know that the term Stargate was not invented on 9/11. However, the following info about 9/11 is very interesting. Where was the target hit on 9/11? The Twin Towers, which like all Twin Towers are Earth, representing two pillars shown as Solomon's Temple. Better known as Jachin and Boaz. Two pillars along with the entrance of Solomon's Temple is called the Gate. But why is the formula followed around the world? The buildings are called the Empire Tower. However, when it combines with the two entrances, you do not know what they're called, just what they were called in Egypt and Babylon. The Gate. So if the Twin Towers are the Gate, what was the target? The Pentagon, which is the base shape of the satanic star. Isn't it interesting that this sacrificial ritual determined the opening of a Stargate? The target hit were the stars. And the gate. Okay. So, this gentleman here is going to explain himself, and he's going to tell him what, he's going to give an idea what mystical numerology is.
Hi. On behalf of Expert Village, I'm Novo A. Calypso, known as Bryce. And I'm here to tell you about mystical numerology. I want to speak about a major energy that has existed around us since Gaia, or Earth, has been alive. Gaia is a living organism because she self-regulates her chemicals and gases. But we're all law, but it's the principles of the universal law. It's the vibrations that involve all of us, and it doesn't separate from country to country or skin to skin or people to people. The universal laws are in full effect with our entire universe and solar system.
Just one more. Well, two more.
Hi, this is Scratching YouTube from AppHelp. That TutorGuy.com has videos covering everything from pre-algebra.
Hi, on behalf of Expert Village, I'm Novo A. Calypso, known as Bryce, and I'm here to tell you about mystical numerology, sacred geometry. Sacred geometry, mystical numerology is my greatest passion. And what makes it my greatest passion is the sacred geometry that exists on this planet, in the cosmos, and I can interpret within mystical numerology. Sacred geometry now is being looked at by science, because scientists, believing that they made a mistake, that everything is not substance and particle, they have found sacred geometry in the smallest organism that's alive, and that is the virus, and it's in the form of the triangle, or the tetrahedron. And so they find it in our smallest living organism, the virus, and then they also find it in the universe. NASA has found sacred geometry in the universe, which is the dodecahedron. And that dodecahedron means 2 + 10 phases, and that is usually taking 12 pentagons and putting them together to create divinity, and that's what the dodecahedron is. It's the sign of divinity, which exists above us. Sacred geometry exists and is mystical numerology. All the patterns that I spoke about, the monad, the dyad, the tetrad, the triad, the heptad, the hexad, the octagon, the Ennead, and the Deca, it's all within your sacred geometry, which exists in mystical numerology, which I can interpret. The one thing to really embrace about sacred geometry is that there is progression within it, and there's always movement. In sacred geometry, everything is within movement and change, and everything must transform. So we're not always a triangle. We're not always a cube. But we have the sacred geometry of our proportion, meaning our frequency. Either we can raise these vibrations within inside of ourselves. Say we raise the 4, and the 4 is the cube, and that contains, but that's what builds structure and framework. So some of us may have the cube, the sacred geometry of the cube inside of us, and we may make it very large, meaning that we'll rise our frequency up to embrace the vibration of the cube, so that we have structure, we have security, we have stability in our lives. But it is up to our thought process to either raise it or lower it. So we may feel a little contained by the cube, which it does do. It does contain, but it creates framework that we all need, and it paves paths. So we may want to bring up a greater self-expression that exists within the triad, which is the triangle, and that would be joy and more self-creativity. So there's sacred geometry in us, but it's best to see the movement, the cube, a small cube going into the triangle becoming larger, or at another time, the cube becoming larger than the triangle, depending on our thought process.
All right, y'all. We is going to elaborate on what this man was talking about, okay? Now, because the first video or soundbite was talking about how the Illuminati or the elite or Satan's groupies or however you want to look at them has found a code that only they know that is not taught to us. They use what they call mystical geometry or mystical astrology or numerology, okay? So they do it by numbers and they do it by the stars. And what they have, what we have learned is we know numerology to a point. We study numbers, we know algebra, we know that stuff, we know geometry, but we don't know it in the sacrificial language that is on another plane. The gentleman before that was speaking about the Kabbalah, the it is spelled K-A-A-B-A, all right, or the cube. It is known as the sacred house. It is a cubular building in Mecca, Saudi Arabia. It is one of the most sacred sites in Islam, holding a place of anonymous of the Temple of the Mount for the Jews. It's a sacred mosque inside, like I said, it's a sacred mosque inside for Islam. And the Muslims were expected to face the Kabbalah doing prayer no matter where they were. So wherever they were, they had to always face towards the Kabbalah to pray from any given point in the world. And the distance facing the Kabbalah called the Kabbalah. They go, and the interesting thing is that they must make a pilgrimage to the Kabbalah, I mean to Mecca, once in their life. And it's called the Hamran is the focus point of the Hajj, the Yikra. Pilgrimage that occurs once a month in Dhi-Hajjah Hajia in the Arabic calendar at any time of the year, respectively. The pilgrimage is one of the first pillars of Islam, requiring all able bodies of Muslims who can afford the trip. In recent times, about 6 million Muslims performed the Hajj every year. Some of the religious performance of the pilgrimage is symbolic to historical events. And so they must make that trip. Now, the thing about this is, I got to pull it up because it's important for me to explain to you why, because it ties into the next topic that I'm going to move to, and I know that some of you guys are trying to understand where I'm coming from, but believe me, at the end I will tie it all together. Just bear with me. Dang it. It's not one. I am trying to find the article about the Arabic Spring, and it is a documentation that they wanted to destroy the Middle East. It was an executive order that was given by, and I'm trying to figure out, and I don't want to misrepresent that, but Henry, Okay, so basically, this was when Henry Kissinger was in the he was in office, and I forgot who he was president with, and I forgot where he was. I think he was the Secretary of State or Minister of Defense. I'm not sure, but they proposed this this thing, an actual movement called the Arab Spring, where they wanted to take over the Middle East and destroy. And this is documented stuff, so you can find it just as well as me. I just didn't have time to dive in and find the particulars where I wanted to discuss. So I'm not going to put out information I haven't studied or looked at. But, excuse me. But by saying that, though, they were talking about how 9/11 was a hoax, and that they did it for a sacrificial ritual with the 9/11. One day I'll give you a breakdown about Solomon Temple and all that stuff because it's important for you guys to understand. But moving on that same thing, this is a very interesting thing, okay, because it's all about the energy. That's why we started talking about the energy vibrations and what the symbols mean and what shapes mean, because when you start talking about these numbers, the geometrical things and how buildings are made. They're not made just because they're made. They specifically, nowadays especially, they make things specific, okay? So if you get a chance, look up the sphere, all right? The sphere. It is the largest mechanic sculpture by German sculptor Friedrich Koenig, displayed in the Battery Park of New York City. At once stood in the middle of August J. Pinson Plaza in the area between the new World Trade Center towers in Manhattan. After being recovered from the rubble of the Twin Towers after September 11 attack in 2001, the artwork faced an uncertain fate, and it was demolished into compositions. Although it remains, structure is intact, has been visibly damaged and by the debris of the airplanes that were crashed into the buildings and from the collapse of the skyscrapers. Okay? Now, let me explain you this. And I want you to get that good intelligent mind a rolling, okay? The sphere is 25 feet high, encased in a 52 bronze sectors. Knowing decided that it was the biggest kid. It was put into Bremen, Germany, and shipped into a hole into Lower Manhattan. The artwork was mentioned to be symbolically a world peace through the world trade, and was placed in the center of a ring of a fountain and other decoration touching the design by the Trade Center's architect. It's Minto Yelisaki to mimic the Great Mosque of Mecca, hence the word the Kabbalah, right? In which the sphere stood at the place of the Kabbalah. It was set to revolve once every 24 hours, and it is based upon a popular lunch spot for workers in the Trade Center on the day where there's good weather. So you're saying to me, George, why is that even important and why are you even bringing that up? It is because they were using code switching, okay? And what I mean by code switching is the sphere itself was meant to be a symbol of the Kabbalah, okay? And that Kabbalah is very sacred towards the Muslims, all right? All Muslims hold that to be the sacred thing, place in Mecca. Like he said, they don't worship the stone. They don't worship the stone, but they rotate around the building or the stone, okay? So the sphere itself was a representation of the Kabbalah, and it was destroyed, okay? So you've got the 9/11, you got the Twin Towers sitting up there who represents the outer frame, or what they call the Tower of Solomon Tower. Then you've got Building 7 that was collapsed, and then the sphere was destroyed. So some of the Muslims feel like it was a signal towards the Muslims saying that we will destroy the mosque. Okay, and this is not something that I made up. There is a lot of people that are not Muslim that are Christian that understand this concept. Okay, so let's move into the other half of the part, because this is more towards equality as well, because you know how we got to talk about equality, okay? Because of the fear of 9/11 and the hypersensitive Americans talk about who our enemy is. I mentioned this a couple of days ago, that when I grew up, it was communists. The communists were coming. They wanted to turn us to socialists and commies. We were so afraid of the big red machine, so afraid of it. But I want people to realize this, okay? While they were doing that, everything that we know today have been put out in films. And so when we start talking about American movies and what bad guys look like, right? In American media today, are the lectures or theater or whatever media, Arabs are always the target. They are always the enemy. Always, they have to have a dark skinned person in there, all right? And it is that anti exposure and negative portrayal of Arabs in Hollywood films that feeds into our fear of the Muslims or the Islam race, okay? There's all types of things that hints the word, you know, to be evil about the anti-Muslim. This is all right. It says a report titled 100 Years of Anti-Arabic and Anti-Muslim Stereotypes. The director of media related for the American Arab Anti-Discrimination Committee specific that what some of the Arabic American communities call the 3B syndrome. Arabs in TV and in movies are portrayed as bombers, belly dancers, or billionaires, in reference that the Arabic men being portrayed as terrorists are wealthy oil owners, and the women are betrayed as sex objects. Also, the report mentioned that even the cartoons have been insulting to the Arabs and the Muslims, and how the people who live in the United States interact with the community most awfully affects by these things of the stereotypes, because they will be treated differently in many points. The report also explains these stereotypes don't only cause psychological harm, culture insults, but also hurts, feeding into the act of the psychological, physical, logical harm by the dehumanization of the group of the first, which is true. Okay, so check this out, right? Iron Eagle, Death Before Dishonor, Navy SEALs, Delta Force, The Patriot Game, Back to the Future, Executive Decision, Real Bad Arabs, Wanted Dead or Alive, True Lies, Rules of an Engagement, the September 11th movie. And so I'm going to go into one more clip so everybody can get another aspect of where I'm going.
Arabs are the most malign group in the history of Hollywood. They're portrayed basically as subhumans. Untermenschen, a term used by Nazis to vilify gypsies and Jews. These images have been with us for more than a century. For 30 years, I've looked at how we, particularly when I say we, image makers, have projected Arabs on silver screens. In my latest book, Real Bad Arabs, How Hollywood Vilifies a People, I looked at more than 1,000 films. Films ranging from the earliest, most obscure days of Hollywood to today's biggest blockbuster. And what I tried to do is to make visible what too many of us seem not to see. A dangerously consistent pattern of hateful Arab stereotypes. Stereotypes that rob an entire people of their humanity. All aspects of our culture project the Arab as villain. That is a given. There is no deviation. We have taken a few structured images and repeated over and over again.
You are hostages of the Holy Freedom Party.
Whether one lives in Paducah, Kentucky or Wood River, Illinois, we know basically the same thing.
Listen to the sound of our thoughts.
We know the mythology. The mythology, namely Hollywood's images of Arabs. Yesteryear's Arab land is today's Arab. The Arab is one-dimensional caricature, cartoon cutouts used by filmmakers as stock villains and as comic relief. And so over and over we see Arabs in movies portrayed as buffoons, their only purpose being to deliver cheap laughs. You see this in the Joey Heatherton film, The Happy Hooker Goes to Washington.
Every night I was forced to perform unspeakable acts with circumcised dogs.
Oh, dogs are better than sheep. They're cleaner, I know, I've tried both.
The stereotype has become so widespread that it's become invisible to people, and the reason being is that we've all grown up with these images. Just look at television. We now have TV shows telling us that, in addition to the Arab terrorists over there, American Arabs over here are also terrorists. Then there's Showtime's Sleeper Cell. Here a sinister network of Islamic groups operates on American street corners. Any homeless man could be part of this network. Even Western-looking Arabs are part of this anti-American conspiracy.
We're at war with America, period. And we're going to win that war by convincing enough Americans through the spread of fear, insecurity, and terror to change their ways. And the best way to teach that lesson is by attacking them where they live, work, and play.
And this paranoia runs deep. So, when innocent Arabs are killed, when they're bombed, maimed, wounded, when they're tortured in places like Abu Ghraib, is it really any surprise that we don't feel any compassion?
or worse, make light of it.
This is no different than what happens at the Skull and Bones Initiation, and we're going to ruin people's lives over it, and we're going to hamper our military effort. You ever heard of emotional release? You ever heard of need to blow some steam off?
Well, yeah, sort of like hazing, a fraternity prank, sort of like that kind of fun. But the point is, everybody's been saying that this came from...
We don't care about that. We've been preconditioned to think that those innocent civilians, clones of Al-Qaeda and Saddam Hussein, are one and the same, and do not merit our sympathy, our understanding. And that's very dangerous.
Why do you think this is so? I believe that people in Hollywood are Zionists. What I mean by Zionists, like the pushing Zion. And what is Zion? Thank you. by war or by conquest. Now, when I was talking about the Nile River and the Euphrates River, they were putting a picture of the Israel's flag, where there's the bottom, which is the Egyptian Nile River, and then the Iraqi Euphrates River, and then the Star of David in the middle, which would represent the Israelites in the middle. Now that I have what I have shown you guys is that, you know, listen, this stuff about, you know, these Arabic people have been embedded in us since we were small. I can remember the only person I saw that was bad was the there was that movie where Sally Fields had brought her children down to the Middle East, and she couldn't get her children back. Her husband was this, her husband was that, you know. And so that, you know, we've been definitely discriminating against these people for a long time, man. I can't even remember. Growing up, I don't even know if I ever met a Muslim person or a person from Arab person. But I seen it on TV. I mean, but doesn't mean that they wasn't discriminated against. And, you know, we talked about this last time, yesterday, you know. I want to specifically talk about, I'm going to close all this down, because I don't really need it no more. But, listen, what I specifically want to talk about is that stereotypical thing, man. I mean, ladies and gentlemen, we have taught ourselves to deal with certain things in different ways. And we've taught ourselves to deal with discrimination like this. I'm not racist. I'm not bigot. I'm not this. I'm not that. But yet, we still use vulgar images. We still use vulgar ways of thinking, conceptually or non-conceptually. We take what we see for granted because the images that are in our face are there. I mean, it's not like they're trying to hide it from us. I mean, they're putting it out there so you can see it. And people, you can see whatever you want to see. That's fine. Everybody got their opinion. I'm too old to be arguing with somebody about an opinion that they had. That's their opinion. That's what they don't mean is right. Hell, I think I'm always right, but I'm not. There's a lot of stuff out there, y'all. A lot of stuff out there. But the reality is Satan's a manipulator, and he is a time traveler. Okay? And it is to the point where we as human beings don't demand that frequency that we need. We need that positive frequency, right? So what do they do to us? They pull us into the TV, they pull us into the radio, they pull us into the movie theater, they pull us into sports, they pull us into all these things. And once they have us where they want us, they turn on the switch. And all the food that we eat have these, I know y'all know what these nanoids are. It's nanoid technology. You see them all the time. They put that, they do it in cartoons. They show all that nanotechnology and all that stuff. All that stuff, they put all that GMO stuff up in there, and they put it in our foods. They ingest it in our foods, in our animals, and it's in our bodies now, right? So when they turn on their frequencies or they turn on their devices, that frequency is switched on, right? So when we watch images like that Boston Marathon bombing, what do we get? Listen, I am a loving person, but they trick us to feel certain ways. That's why Freud was saying, when we get anxiety, we react a certain way. And so We have to take that negative energy or a negative frequency that we are constantly receiving on the news or, you know, anything that is either audio or visual. We have to take that frequency and somehow try to shut it off. How to do that? I got to do some more research so I can help you out. But listen, it is that frequency that will bind our minds to the point where, well, you know what? One way is to pray to Jesus, because that's one way to break the frequency right there. Okay? I mean, he can do all things through Christ Jesus. You can do all things through Christ Jesus. So when you walk through the frequency and you look at the imagery that is going on, what it's kind of like eating, you know, they talk about I want to get on a diet and stuff. How about putting yourself on a spiritual diet? How about putting yourself on a visual diet? How about putting yourself on an audio diet? How about putting yourself on a physical diet? You know, by touch, because the things that you listen to on TV or you read on in the newspapers aren't always what they want you to believe. Okay. All this week I've been talking about the schemes and the deceptions that the government has been running since the beginning of time, since the beginning of the forming of the United States of America. Now, for all you teachers out there, you should be ashamed of yourselves. I mean, all you people in the administration, listen, either you're going to be pro— listen to what I'm saying closely. Either you're going to be pro-humanity or you're not going to be pro-humanity. Because this is the point. They are constantly destroying education because they don't want the younger kids to know how to do anything. Why do you think they're closing down schools? It's not because they don't have the money. Come on now. Oh, they don't have the money, right? But they came up money to bail out the bankers. Come on. We know as Americans, when we want something, there is a way to get that stuff, man. They close down schools, the way they're testing out kids and stuff like that. The curriculum is so hard and so fast that it discourages kids to drop out, and now we got to go and clean up the mess. I'm so tired of Americans trying to give me that bad food, saying, you know, we've got to do something. We've got to make it better. Listen, I did not sign up to make the world better. I signed up to live my life. It is not my job as an American to clean up what the government has already done. It is not my job to go around cleaning up the mess that the state has made. It is a personal choice that the government, local, state, and federal decided to do. And so you are un-American if you don't want to clean up their messes. For example, they tell you not to litter, right? They tell you not to litter. But yet and still, the people who dump the garbage are dumping it somewhere they shouldn't be dumping it. Why are they dumping garbage in the ocean, in the Pacific Ocean? Why are they dumping garbage in the Gulf of Mexico? Why we got oil in the water? Busted pipelines. Now we got to go and save the animals. All we ask for is real food without all that chemical. Nobody asked for them to enhance our food. Does it make us smarter? Does it give us more energy? No, it makes us sick and it makes us fat. Then you want to say, oh, well, you need to watch your portions. Watch what portions? You've already made— listen, when I was in school, I was like, you know, wish my, you know, we could grow up, and by the days this man got older, had got my own child. Like, Lord, man, these girls are looking, you know, like they 30 years old. They only 12. So what we come to find out now is that they were putting hormones in our foods. And so that created a lot more estrogen in the women's bodies, so their bodies started to develop at a very early age. Did we ever ask the government to put more hormones in our food?
Did we ask him? No. Whose fault is that? Who do we blame? Oh, we blame ourselves for eating it, right? Listen, they're not going to put labels on the food they're going to genetically modify. When George Bush was fighting to pass the stem cell bill or the act, listen, they've already done that maybe 20, 30 years down the road already. The reason why they had to put it in law is so now they can't get sued for it. Then, you want to, I mean, I'm on a food kick, but it's just so baffling to me how Americans are so stupid. I mean, we fight over everything under the sun. Everything. Everything is an argument. Everything is a fight. Why are we arguing about stuff like that? I mean, I'm tired of seeing, is Obama the worst president we've ever had? Come on, man. What about Harry Truman? He dropped a bomb on Hiroshima and Tanaki, killing millions of people. And you don't think that's the worst decision ever made in history just to stop a war? Come on, man. Those people are still being affected by that. Then I'm going to move on to media. Okay, I'm going to move on to media because that's what we've been talking about. I'm talking about the frequencies. I want to tell you right now, listeners, that the Arabic people or the Muslim people are not our enemies. It's the guys that wear those ties and those suits that are our enemies. And if you don't think that they're not our enemy, then you are wrongly mistaken. Wrongly mistaken. Is there people out there who are Arabic who want to kill Americans? Yeah. You know why? Because we're dropping bombs on them. We're taking their land. We're destroying their food. We're destroying their water. They can't drink water because their water's all jacked up. Wouldn't you want to kill somebody who was doing that? If they were dropping bombs on America and we had to hide in holes and they were throwing bombs all over the place, don't you think we would be in a panic state? But see, we don't have to worry about that because it's hard for them to get over here. So now we got these things called sleeper cells, and you know, every once in a while you hear somebody getting shot or somebody get, you know, like the bombing that just happened. I mean, come on, y'all. President Obama called that a terrorist act. Come on, y'all. I do not believe that for one bit. Not one bit. Don't call me, you know, that I'm un-American or because I don't believe it. My heart goes out to the people that were hurt. I'm not saying that. I'm not believing the BS that the government's putting out. Because for years, black people were the target, right? Come on now. Let's be real about it. What they were scaring y'all white folk with? Gangs. Watch out, they got gangs in this. They got this gang. They got this gang. You can't wear these colors. Clothes. You can't wear these shoes. You can't wear. Hey, these black people. Yeah, white people had white women had clenched in their purses. Had, I mean, come on, that's still going on. They locking the doors. Not. Listen. Black people should be the one be afraid, holding their purses. You know, being cowardly because, I mean, you walk by a white person, you don't know if they're good or bad. Then they moved over to the Mexicans. Messed with the Mexicans a little bit. Left them alone. And then they started the Arab Spring.
go out there and buy a book called, it's called The Economic Hitman, okay? John Perkins. Good book, good book. Listen. These people, speaking about the book, these people will manipulate the situation to get us to back whatever their agenda is. If they said, okay, first of all, I'm just going to bring this point and then I'm talking about the book. First of all, ever since I was in school, I have known Pluto to be a planet. I don't know about you, but Pluto was supposed to be a planet. Then all of a sudden, in this recent 2-3 years, they say, you know what? That is a mistake and a lie. Pluto is not a planet. It's a rock. When's the last time we've been to the moon? I'll wait. We have never been to the moon. Come on now. Let's be real. We've never been to the moon. When's the last time that a human put foot on the moon? We spend trillions of dollars to NASA, giving NASA all this money on research, and we sending stupid drones or satellites way out in space, but we can't feed a homeless family with all that money. Listen, if y'all want to do an experiment every once in a while, that's cool. Ain't got nothing wrong with that. But you take that and you slice that budget in half and you do something with that money that's, you know, build more schools, give more schools more funding, give police more funding. And I've always said, let me go back to the economical hitman. Listen, within our system, we should not be begging for scraps. Shouldn't be begging for scraps. Now, I told you that when it comes to minority groups and women, we are tied at the hip to the federal government, period. We are. That's just how it is. So when folks talk about a handout, you've got to be specifically understanding when you're talking about a handout. The state does not own anyone, but the government owns everyone. Let me say that again. The state does not own anyone, but the government owns everyone. That is why we pay taxes. We pay taxes to the Central Bank of England, which the Whataburger, the Rothschilds and Warburgs and the Oberhoppers and another family owns that. And who do they answer to? The Queen of England. So don't get it twisted. So when you say that we are asking, or black folk are asking for a handout, or these the reason why the Democrats, first of all, whether you Democrat or Republic, they are working for almost the same agenda. They just got different ways they want to do it. The reason why they have not put up a border yet is because the North American Treaty Agreement that was signed by George Bush. They're not going to put up a fence because of the treaty that they signed. So that treaty, they had to do is tear it up and say it's null and void. That's not going to happen. Come on, people. Let's be realistic about it. So now you're saying that the Mexicans are coming over, and now we got two enemies. We got enemies coming from the south, and now we've got enemies coming from the east. They're taking over our country. It is all a ploy. It is all a plot. I don't want my Arabic brothers and sisters to get caught up in something that they have no alt against us. But the alt they do have is the image of and the arrogance of Americans. We are so arrogant. We think that we are the best nation in the world. Let us go into martial law. Let us be really attacked. Listen, 9/11 is not an attack. Listen to what I'm saying. 9/11 is not an attack. An attack is when we've got planes flying in and dropping a bomb on you. You got troops coming in and kicking in your door. You ask me that. You ask me, are we at war? No, we're not. So when we are going and being arrogant and we're talking to people with disrespect because they are a different ethnicity, listen, the reason why that they look at you or they don't like you and the reason why that the Americans don't want to face the reality is because they are too scared or they are too cowardly to face the facts. The facts is there are children in the Middle East who are not getting education. There are children in the Middle East that are not even eating one time a day. There are children in the Middle East that are sitting on deathbeds because of our pollution that we send over there. Think about it. We have tons and tons of waste. I want y'all to go do some research for me. I want you to go look up waste disposal. Toxic waste disposal. Do you think toxic waste can just be easily disposed of? Either the government buries it in the ground, they keep it on rail trains, they keep it in warehouses, or they put it in bombs. So when, or they put it in the water, and that's why we got cancer, most of the people got cancer now, because they take it and make it into the dust, and they've got these sky trails, and these white lines, and they crisscross and sell, and they say it's a plane. Yeah, it's a plane, but they're just putting out that pollution dust. Okay. Let me say this to you. I used to live in Blue River, and within my 4 years of Blue River, there was a case of like 19 to 20 people come down with cancer or more. Okay. There's nothing industrial about Blue River, Oregon. Nothing industrial. I mean, it was a forestry town. Of course, they're not logging anymore, using those people to log anymore. But what is the difference between a mountain scene where there's a major river going through, intersecting the area, and the cities like Eugene? Those people should be safe. They should be safe from any type of environmental air debris. They should be environmentally healthy and environmentally sound. I mean, they grow a lot of their own stuff. People do their own farming out there. So, you know, you would think they would be safe. Now, when you do it scientifically, you come up with your hypothesis, and you come up with your variables and your objective, and you're trying to figure this out. I mean, there's nothing for me to. I mean, I'm not saying that I'm a scientist, but I was taught how to do it, and my thought process does not even add up. There's nothing there. The only thing I can think of that is not environmentally safe there is the sky and the water. If the sky has, okay, but let me back up real quick. Every night at 10 o'clock on the dot, sorry, 11 o'clock on the dot, there was a plane that flew over our house. Every night. Every night. And you might say, well, you know, that could be, it could be an airplane flying into the airport. Okay, it may possibly could be. But the altitude would be a lot higher. I could hear the airplane buzzing by. My wife could hear the airplane buzzing by. It would not be that low, believe me, because I flew from Portland to Blue River, and we were at least 500,000 miles or however above ground, and I was above the clouds. We dipped down a little bit right above it, below it, but we still high enough. You couldn't even, no way, dog. No way. So, like I said, the variables that the things that I found that could be the cause to the effect is the river, because most of the people get water from the river. the ground itself, the soil itself, or there's something in the air? Because there's too many people over there that are getting cancer. I mean, all kinds of cancer, breast cancer, tubular cancer, ovarian cancer, you know, prostate cancer, breast cancer, tumors. I mean, craziness. So there's something environmentally there that is disrupting the flow of life there. That's all I'm saying, okay? That was an example of that. So, I'm going to wrap it up by saying these couple things. We have to watch our frequencies and how we project them. Because when it comes to the Arabic Spring, when they want to destroy all the middle, we already know that they got rid of Gaddafi. We know they got rid of the Egyptian prime minister and put some other lackey up there. We know they're messing with Syria, and we know we're messing with Iran. So now listen to this. Iran, let me pull up a map because that way I can see it a lot better. So when I'm talking to y'all can see it. All right. So, we've already attacked Afghanistan. Afghanistan's checked off the list. We've already attacked Iraq, check it off the list. Saudi Arabia is an ally. Jordan is an ally. Israel is an ally. We are, Lebanon's an ally, sort of. Syria and Iran are the last two. Now, we've got a check hole on Oman and Yemen and the UAE, right? So, once we get rid of Iran and Syria, those are the only two countries in Iraq. You can't forget Turkey, but Turkey is trying to be a European nation. Okay, so once they get rid of those two, the prophecy of those people will be fulfilled, okay? The prophecy of the Arabic Spring will be fulfilled. Listen, people. Once that is done, two things are going to happen. Two things are going to happen. They're going to destroy Mecca, all right? And then they're going to take over the mosque. So is that the Dome of the? Okay, so we know that they're going to destroy the Dome of the Rock Mosque in Jerusalem. Okay, we know that. Right now they're trying to excavate underneath it to get. Some say they're trying to get the Ark of the Covenant. I'm not sure. Who knows? I don't know. But I just want y'all to know those are the two things they need to do, okay? They have to completely wipe, when I say they, the New World Order has to crush the other religion that is stronger, well protected or known in the world. We've already know there's Christian, right? And then there is Allah and the Muslims. And they have to take them out in order for this to succeed. Because if they don't take those things out, the positive energy, because remember we were talking about the helix, right? The helix, the positive energy that the Muslims do when they make that trip to Mecca, they rotate kind of clockwise, sending positive energy up into the atmosphere. You see? Negative energy goes clockwise, pointing towards the ground. So now they're walking kind of clockwise, boom, 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 boom. They're rising it up to the sky, into the air, the atmosphere. They're, what that gentleman said, you're going, you have to walk around it seven times, and then so every time you walk around it, you receive a spiritual enlightenment or heightenment within those walking around. And we also know that the Israelites walked around the walls of Jericho seven times and then blew the horn now. Let's not forget that. So that positive energy that is being pushed out has to be neutralized. And so, as I said before, the sphere that was created and put there by the Twin Towers was destroyed, giving a prelude saying that we must destroy the Kabbalah, which was supposed to be, you can look it up yourself, it said it was supposed to be a representation of the Kabbalah. All right? Now, Kabbalah. All right? So now, when we talk about neurology, the sacred neurology and the sacred geometry, those were the things what I was talking about, how how you have three dimensions, and within these three dimensions, it is something that we have to see how these people actually think and how they work. We've got to stop fighting our brothers and sisters and just love them for who they are. If they have a negative attitude, fine. Everybody's got a negative attitude every once in a while. It doesn't matter. What we need to do is we have to be steadfast in our love for our brothers and sisters. A lot of information to put out. I'm telling you, this week is going to be a continuance of a great week, because I still got to do the research for the Monsantos, and I'm telling you, that stuff is breaking you. It could break you down, but we're going to get to it, all right? So next time I hear from you or see you, you should be sounding off. Good night.